The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Aisling Larkin is back with me, the TV chef and the mindful eating coach. And we are jetting off to Spain this week. Is that right?
We are going to Andalusia. So okay. We're in Spain. So we're going to fly into Seville. We're going to travel from Seville down to Cadiz, which is the windy, beachy part. We're going to go to Jerez de la Frontera, where they make the sherry, over to Ronda and the Pueblo Blanco, which are these mountainous little, beautiful little small villages up the mountains. They've got all these white houses. Then I recommend heading to Granada, see the Alhambra, and then down to Malaga and home.
There's a very highly conductive metal called andalusite. That's the part of the world you find it in. And it's parts of it, you can find deposits of it in Ireland. There was a deposit on Tom Duff Hill in South County Carlow that they wanted to mine back in the 1980s.
Wow.
In a big campaign to try and stop it happening. Mary White, remember Mary White, the Green Party TD?
She
would have been heavily involved in that campaign. And yeah, there was andalusite in that hill. And that's where Andalusia, you know.
That is mad. I never
bit of random
that.
Information.
Love
anyway,
that.
Back to the food.
Yeah.
So this part of the world is famous for what type of food?
Tapa.
Ah, lovely.
Yeah. So beautiful little tapas, which are those little nibbly little bites that we absolutely love. The name tapa comes, there's a couple of different stories to where it comes from. I suppose the one that I like the best, which is the most sensible and the most scientific approach, is that tapa means to cover or a lid. So down around Jerez, Cadiz, it was that you would have a little glass of sherry, a little glass of wine, a little beer, and the sand would blow in, or else there were so many fruit flies around that they needed to cover your drink because the little flies wanted to get in. So they would put a little cover of a little piece of bread or a little piece of Serrano ham sitting across your glass to protect it. The other story goes that there was a king, King Alfonso, it was two King Alfonsos, King Alfonso V and King Alfonso VIII, both having varying involvements in tapa, believing that one guy said that you should never have a drink without having a little piece of food with it, and another one got sick, and as he recuperated he had little drinks and little bites to eat, and he believed that this was the way that all of the people should eat.
So when did it become a thing though that people would go in and order?
So some places it was this free thing, and it was a case of it was given free. So some of the bodegas back pre-19th century, the owners of these little inns, these guest houses, bodegas, couldn't read or write. So when people would come and stay, they would obviously have dinner. But the people who owned them couldn't explain to them what was on the menu. So they would give them a tiny little taste for free of each item on the menu.
Okay.
I mean, we should all be doing that.
Like, yes.
Really getting a free little taste of everything and then deciding what you want. That would make me so happy. And then after that, King Alfonso VIII said, no, we should all be paying now for our tapas. And, you know, so that kind of changed after that.
Well, and people were obviously taking the proverbial. They were just going in, oh, I'll have a little taster of everything. Actually, I'm quite full now. Thank you very much.
That is kind of what happens. And a couple of years back, we did this entire trip that I kind of described at the top. And we spent about 3.5 weeks travelling around. And in some of the bars, particularly down around Cadiz, Jerez, Granada, they are for free. And the idea is that come on in, have a drink. These are lovely, salty little bits.
Okay.
And when you have a little bite, you're going to have another drink and another drink and another drink.
I see.
So it depends on where you go. But I suppose predominantly they have become, you know, a la carte tapas style menus.
So what are the different types of tapas then? Like, do they fall into different categories or?
Down south, Andalusia, you have this, I suppose the concept would be that it's like a smaller portion of a main meal.
Yes.
In some cases. And if you head up north to the northwest, the south of France, the north of Spain, the Basque region, they have a very different style of tapas.
Okay.
Pincho.
Oh, what's pincho?
Pincho. So it means a little pinch. Or pincho means like the stick, like a cocktail stick.
Oh, right, okay.
So each tapa comes
cocktail sausages
on a cocktail stick. Yeah. So the idea with those ones up north in the Basque region is that they're less of a meal and more of layered little ingredients that pair really interestingly together. So
okay.
It might be a little bit of a pepper with a little bit of goat's cheese with a little bit of an anchovy. And so a little bit of a date with a little bit of bacon. So they kind of play around and they layer things up on sticks. The idea being that it's very buffet style. You go in, you take, and then at the end of the night, the waiter or the waitress will count up how many cocktail sticks you have left, and that's then you pay.
Oh, I
that
see. Very good.
But I mean, that's kind of a bit of an old wives' tale. They don't really do that anymore. Right. That's a very romantic notion of what happens.
We've gone to southern Spain today in terms of what food is here.
To southern Spain. So we are looking at, I suppose you would start originally or traditionally with your pica pica, which is little picky bits.
Okay.
So smoked almonds, olives. Sheridan's do beautiful smoked almonds. I do these lovely kind of supper clubs and dinner parties and I always use the smoked almonds. If you haven't had them, they're absolutely beautiful. Really, really nice. Your anchovies, a little bit of serrano ham, some manchego cheese, maybe a little bit of honey, pan con tomato, which is a lovely toasted bread with a little bit of garlic rubbed over it, and then you grate the tomato on. And
this is just the start.
Oh, they're just the little nibbly bits before you get into things.
All right.
Then you've got the meats, then you've got the fish course, then you've got the lovely desserts to go through.
Are there dessert tapas?
There are. So there's a couple that are really, I suppose churros would be a really classic one, which are those deep fried kind of donuts.
Don't like them.
Do you not?
No, I don't. Well, I just don't like donuts.
Yeah.
I don't like deep fried pastry.
You know where I got a lovely donut? Kilkenny.
Oh, really?
New place in Kilkenny. Cannot remember the name of it. But absolutely fabulous. So, yeah, try them. They might just change your mind on donuts.
All right, okay.
But if we go back to the meat tapas, a little bit of croquettes. So you've got maybe jambon, you've got your ham, you've got your cheese and your croquettes. You've got chorizo, you've got black pudding, you've got bomba, which are these like croquettes almost. So they're like a mince stuffing with mashed potato all around it, and then they're deep fried.
Okay.
Pork belly. Slow Lovely. Cooked and then deep fried. So they tend to do that a lot where they'll slow cook something for hours.
Yeah, they're deep frying a lot of things here.
Yeah, and then they deep fry. So kind of it's a mixture of both.
Right, okay.
Hence the little portions, I think. Well, we get stuck into
some food.
Yeah, let's
get going.
Because we have so much food.
Yes.
Where
do we start?
What I'm going to start you with. Let's start with your salmiero.
Right.
Salmiero is a cold tomato soup. Okay. Now, I could have brought you gazpacho and I didn't because I like you.
Okay.
I don't love gazpacho. I think it's very sharp. I think it's very cold. I think particularly for Irish people going on holidays, I think maybe it's just a little bit too hard for us. So what you have is a bowl of cold, creamy tomato soup topped with serrano ham and a hard-boiled egg. Not for you.
You know what? I'm loath to say it, but it's not. It actually isn't really for me.
Is it not?
No.
And look, you know what happens? Like, we ate so much of this when we were on holidays. And sometimes I think you do come home with that almost romantic notion of food from your holidays. Like, I love it.
What's in it? There's something sharp there now.
Garlic.
Okay.
And depending on the season of the garlic, and actually I put in 2 cloves of garlic and I probably should have only put in 1 clove of garlic. So it's basically tomatoes, fresh tomatoes, stale bread, blitzed up in a food processor with water, olive oil, garlic, a little bit of smoked
paprika. I'm still eating it now, haven't I?
Yeah, to be fair. Little bit of smoked paprika. So it's the bread that gives it that creamy texture as opposed to gazpacho, which would kind of have a just more raw tomato texture. And that's why I really like it. And then you've kind of got the umami or the salty of the little bit of the egg, the savouriness, and then you've got the kind of the meat, the saltiness of the meat on top.
Not bad, actually.
Might grow on you.
Yeah, it might grow on me. Maybe it's partly just that there's a bit of my mind just cold soup. I'm just not, you know.
Okay, I'm going to move you on.
Have you got a hot soup?
I've got a hot soup.
Ah, lovely. Farmhouse vegetable soup.
This, you wish. So this is your soup, but it has to be eaten with this green olive and manchego toast. So
what's
a little
in the
bit
soup?
Of toasted bread. You've got a green olive. So it's green olives mashed up with a little bit of capers, a little bit of lemon zest, and then it's got manchego cheese on top. And that's paired very specifically.
Mm.
It's good, isn't it? That's paired with the soup. So the soup is roast garlic and milk soup. Like, it sounds a little bit peculiar. So what you do
is lovely,
isn't it? Roast
the lemon
garlic.
Zest is delicious on the bread.
It's the pairing of the two of them that really work together. Because when I made it first, I had the soup on its own. I was thinking, maybe the soup will be okay. And actually, when you put the green olive and the manchego toast with it, it transforms the whole dish. It really is a proper pairing. So the soup is basically roast garlic, confit garlic, or roasted. So confit means to very, very slowly kind of deep fry it, for want of a better word, slow deep frying. So it's submerged in oil, or else you can get your big bulbs of garlic, sprinkle them with olive oil, wrap them in foil and roast them in the oven.
Yeah.
You put your garlic, you put a little bit of onion, fry that off in olive oil. There's a trend: olive oil, garlic, bread tomatoes. I mean, that's kind of where we're going with a lot of these dishes. And you slow cook that, and then you put in some vegetable stock, let it simmer. And then when that's simmered, blitz that all down, pour your milk in, and that's your soup. Now, I did put in cayenne pepper. Cayenne pepper and smoked paprika, tiny pinch of both. And I was making it, and my six-year-old was the taste tester. She said, "Mom, there's too much chorizo in that."
Oh, right. Okay.
So she knew that the smoked paprika was the chorizo flavor. I was like, there's no chorizo in it. So I actually think that's really interesting that you can get those meaty flavors and almost trick your brain into thinking you're having meat and chorizo by a plant-based soup, which is really lovely.
That cheese is delicious as well, manchego cheese.
What, isn't it? Oh, it's really, really good. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to make you a little drink while we go.
Well, it's only two, right? Yeah, exactly. I was wondering what I was going to do here to quench my thirst here of a Friday evening.
Tinto Verano.
Okay.
This is the good stuff. So I made you one of these ages ago, around Christmas time, I think, because I made a Christmas version. So it's basically red wine and Fanta lemon. Fizzy, Fanta lemon, red wine over ice. That is it.
Oh, that is delicious.
I know.
Oh, that is a barbecue drink if ever there was a barbecue or garden party.
Totally. It is al fresco. It is fizzy. It's sharp.
Oh, it's lovely. It's
so
refreshing.
It's so refreshing.
Drink three or four of them and drive home.
Do not.
Just for clarification purposes, I'm not advocating that, and I'm actually only sipping this, but it is delicious.
It really is delicious. It's a lovely one. And I just think, you know, if you do have a gang coming over, and even if you didn't want to go to the bother of a sangria, like red wine, fizzy lemon.
Yeah.
But there's nothing else. Club lemon works, Fanta lemon works. The light calorie, low calorie ones, they don't, you kind of try and get the most sugary one you can get.
Yeah. Don't mind that free stuff.
Patatas
the classic
bravas.
Patatas bravas.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't have done it without it. Parboiled my potatoes and then I deep fried them. Now, this is a great one for the air fryer because the potatoes crisp up really, really nicely in the air fryer. And then your sauce, again, lots of olive oil, onion, garlic, slow cook them. Put your tomatoes in, a little bit again of smoked paprika, a little bit of cayenne pepper in there. Mm. And what I added actually was a little bit of a red pepper. So I just had a red pepper and I put it in and I think it actually adds a nice little twist. Mm. And then you put a dollop of garlic aioli or like a garlic mayonnaise sitting on top. They're just a classic. Like, they're a winner.
They are.
Again,
delicious.
If you're doing them for a big batch of people, just make your sauce up in advance and just have them done and they're ready to go. Okay, next up, I have a bit of a wild card. Chorizo cooked in red wine.
Right.
So again, olive oil, onion, garlic, chorizo. Fry off your chorizo until it goes brown. So again, slow cook those onions and garlic, put the chorizo in, give it a little bit of colour, and then you basically pour in about 250, 300 mils, like a really good big glass of red wine, and let it simmer its way down, and it cooks really, really slowly. Do you like that?
Mm.
See, I didn't love that at all now. So it's amazing, isn't it?
That's lovely. Yeah. Really rich. There's nearly kind of a, it almost tastes like a kind of a, like a, what you'd imagine a Spanish black pudding to taste.
Yes, yes. That's a really good way of describing it. It absorbs all that kind of the deep red wine flavours.
Mm.
Like you could do it with a sherry as well, or you could do it with a ruby port and it would be really lovely. There's a lovely...
New lad in college and he used to fry the black pudding full and eat it like a sausage.
Hiya.
You know, the full thing. Yeah. You just hold it in his hand.
Quite a lot. I mean, worry about his heart.
Was.
But if he was fit and healthy, sure, look, go
he
for
wasn't.
It.
Go on.
But it's a lovely one. Again, like if you were to do tapas for people, what I've tried to do is pull ones that are easy access ingredients to us from all the supermarkets, but that are different. I suppose I could have come with gambas, you know, a little bit of prawns and garlic butter and all that stuff. These are ones that maybe we don't have all the time. Croquettes. I had to make croquettes. Okay. So what I did when I roast the garlic for the soup, I took the roast garlic. I had manchego, so mashed potatoes, boiled potatoes, mashed them, put the manchego cheese and put the roast garlic into the potatoes, stirred it all around.
Mm.
I know, we need a moment for this.
Oh, the cheese.
And then there's a little bit of truffle. So I grated in some truffle. And by the way, I'm not using the really good expensive truffle. I'm using the kind of layman's dried truffle that you get. It's about 20 euro. Lasts you for ages. Isn't it delicious?
Health food.
Manchego cheese. Confit garlic and truffle croquettes.
I feel like
I need to set up a shop and like sell those somewhere because like they're just so good, aren't they?
They are absolutely delicious.
They're really, really lovely. We've got a final finish.
God almighty.
I know, you're going to be rolled out of here later. So this one is pork cooked in whiskey and lemon.
Now, can I be honest about how this looks?
Of course you can.
All right, going in the wrong way. But I've tidied up stuff that looks like this. We put it that way.
That's really mean.
You know?
I mean, that's kind of mean.
You know? I'm just saying. Just.
But, now,
you can see what I mean.
Did that Selma Yarrow look amazing?
Yes, absolutely.
You didn't comment on how good that looked. Did the croquettes look amazing?
Sorry, they all look amazing, but I just thought, something Ashing spilled something there on a plate.
5, 6, 7. I brought you 7 dishes and he moans about the presentation of the last one.
Mm.
Do you see that tiny kitchen I work in out there? I did my very best.
I know, well, you did. And I'm just saying, like, you came up short on the presentation of this one. But listen, you shouldn't be embarrassed. All you can ever do is try.
There's a fine line.
I tell my kids. Just try. All you can do is try. We can't ask anymore.
Get out of it. Get out of it. What
is it? Delicious?
Isn't it?
What is it? Pork?
Thanks.
Yeah. Pork and spuds.
It's pork in a whiskey and lemon sauce.
Mm.
Pork chops. We see them in the supermarket shelves all the time. And to be honest,
I wouldn't be a great purchaser of pork chops now.
So many of us aren't anymore.
Yeah.
They go dry, they go hard, they dry out so quickly. We're really afraid that we're going to undercook pork, then we end up overcooking.
My memory of cooking pork, and my mother will kill me now because she's a very good cook actually, but I just have in my head of just kind of hacking away at a pork chop to cut it.
Totally. And that's why so many of us, and from childhood the same, like you kind of go, listen, you know what, I'm not going to do it. We don't know how to do it. You do it on the barbecue, same thing. It dries out so much. So what this is basically I took a pork chop, I just trimmed off the excess fat. I didn't even flatten it down, but you could. I coated it in a little bit of flour that had a sprinkle of garlic powder in it. So those garlic granules.
Yeah.
Tossed it in that, oil on the pan, browned it off, pan fried it. Then into that, a good splash of whiskey.
Okay.
Squeeze of lemon juice. So the juice of, like, if there's 4 chops, the juice of 1 full lemon.
Yeah.
2 cloves of garlic grated in, a little bit of chicken stock. And allow that to simmer. So what I did then was I transferred it to my pressure cooker and did it for about 25 minutes. So I would say if you're slow cooking it, 6 to 8 hours, slow cook it. And allow it just to, by the way, clean plate.
Yeah, I know. Well, what did I say at the start? I've cleaned up stuff like this. Now I've done it again.
But
there's
it tasted amazing,
left.
Am I right?
It tasted really, really good.
So, but it's...
And it's very soft, the pork.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
And that's the point. When you do it in that slow cooking way, that pressure cooking way, it tends to just fall apart, which is lovely. And the sauce is really... It's so kind of umami-ish. It's kind of difficult to put a finger on what the flavour is, but it's kind of savoury, but it has that little kind of piquancy from the lemon and it has a little bit of whiskey at the back that gives it a little bit of dip. I love it. I think it's a really, really gorgeous dish.
It's all absolutely delicious. And you can find out more of the detail on Aisling's social media channels at Aisling Larkin. You will find her there. Aisling, will talk to you at the same time next week.
I'll we're going to take. Game. I'll my
well,
game.
Listen, you know, there's all we can all improve all the time. You know what I mean? That's all I'd say. You know, there's always room. We chase
See
perfection.
See you next week.
We chase perfection.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.